It's important for us to understand that the struggle for our liberation is a complete process, brother, and which requires of us to be prepared to address the causes of our oppression.
In the 1970s, as heroin ravaged New York City, political radicals, including members of the Black Panther Party and the Young Lords, pioneered the use of acupuncture to treat addiction. Dr. Mutula Shakur led this movement and founded the first community acupuncture detox clinic in North America. Over a decade later, he is listed among the FBI's 10 most wanted. Montreal-based filmmaker Mia Donovan explores the hidden history of how the Lincoln Detox Program took on the public healthcare system, Big Pharma, and the war on drugs. Civil rights hero or enemy of the state? Dr. Shakur has been incarcerated for over 30 years. Dope is Death, the podcast asks, why is he really still in prison?
He was my student. I don't know what he did after school. I have no idea what he did after school. I was just a teacher. I'm just a teacher. We are close as far as being pioneers together. You understand?
That's Mario Wexu. Mario and his father Oscar founded the first acupuncture school in North America back in 1970. It was called the Quebec Institute of Acupuncture, and the courses were only offered in French. In 1974, Mario received a call from a man named Mutula Shakur. Mutula wanted Mario to go from Montreal to the South Bronx to teach the Black Panthers and the Young Lords acupuncture to get people off of heroin. Mutula didn't understand French, but was determined to get his doctorate degree so he could be taken seriously and eventually start his own school. Mario and his father were very outspoken about their disdain for Western medicine. Oscar Wexu regularly called out doctors in the press for performing unnecessary surgeries and prescribing too many drugs. So when Mario heard about what was happening in the South Bronx, how people were dying at the dilapidated Lincoln Hospital because of insufficient medical care, and in the streets because of widespread heroin addiction, he wanted to help. The Quebec Institute of Acupuncture offered Mutula Shakur and three of his comrades scholarships. And 3 years later, in 1977, Dr. Mutula Shakur became one of the first Black acupuncturists in America.
Mutula's mission was to help people, the Black people, to heal themselves, to heal themselves with their own by their own means. So the acupuncture was inexpensive, and anybody you could learn it. It was not hard to learn. And it didn't cost anything to do. And you could heal people. You don't have to depend on Western doctors who are abusing the people over there in Harlem and the Bronx. They were being abused completely.
This unexpected partnership between a Romanian Jewish immigrant from Montreal and a radical Black power leader in New York City revolutionized drug addiction treatment. They developed a standardized 5-point ear acupuncture protocol that is still used today around the world.
Breathe in, exhale. Okay, Walter, turn your head that way, like you're looking at that hat.
We're at the New York Harm Reduction Educators Clinic in Harlem with Juan Cortez. Juan runs the acupuncture program here at NYRA and has been treating people with acupuncture for 14 years now.
I'm all right. How are you?
Good.
Mr. Jones.
The NYRA clinic is near Lexington and 125th Street, one of the few areas in Harlem that appears untouched by gentrification.
There you go, brother. You get to go, man. Don't try not to tense up when you breathe in. Just try to relax. Breathe in and exhale. You all right? All right. Turn your head for me.
Juan doesn't look like your typical acupuncturist. He's wearing a New York Yankees hat, a Nike tracksuit, and spotless white Nike shoes. and seems a lot younger than his 55 years.
We provide different services like auricular acupuncture, Reiki, Tai Chi, aromatherapy, sound therapy, and holistic counseling to people in the community that have been living with HIV, hepatitis, people that are at risk for overdose, people who have a history of incarceration, mostly communities of color, pretty much people that have been disenfranchised and stigmatized. And I've been doing that for 14 years.
There you go. Very good, man. When you go like this, all your muscles tense up and it'll hurt when I put the needle. When you just go like this, all your muscles are relaxed so you won't feel it. Okay? There you go. Relax, man.
How long have you been doing?
I've been doing this for about 7-8 years now.
Really?
Maybe more. Maybe I'll skip a couple.
Are you ready?
Because I was doing drugs right then. And it helps me with a lot of things. It calms my breathing. It calms my heart down. It keeps me relaxed. And it just makes me happy. I'm a happy person anyway, and with this, it makes me extra happy. Come on, put the pins in.
That's Lily. The acupuncture that she is getting is called community acupuncture, which means it takes place in a group setting among peers, seated on chairs facing each other in a circle. Addiction can be a very alienating experience. Community acupuncture aims to bring people together and remind them that they are not alone.
Okay, sir. 1, 2, 3, 4. Tilt your head up a little bit. Okay. Breathe in, exhale. Breathe in. All right, breathe in for me. And exhale. Let's do it together. All right. A lot of the people that come through these doors, a lot of the people have been traumatized their whole life. They've been abused physically, some sexually, some emotionally. Their only experience with human contact is one of pain for a lot of people. So when they come through the doors and you're actually connecting with them and you're like, you're having human contact, not to induce pain, but to induce healing, that's very powerful.
This helps me with my anger management.
I've been on diabetes because for 10 years.
Lily, let me talk. This helped me with my anger management, and I found out through taking anger management courses that it's not anger I feel, it's hurt. So it hurts me manage the hurts that I have within and keeps me off of, away from alcohol and illegal, you know, substance.
Right, you don't have to medicate yourself anymore. This is your natural medicine here.
Yes, yes, yes. Come on, hit me up, man. I'm ready.
Yes, sir. Look up a little bit. There you go.
When I was at the clinic, I witnessed people coming in and looking very agitated, ornery, and restless. Once they were seated, one would insert pins or needles into specific points on the ear to relieve stress, anxiety, and withdrawal symptoms associated with drug use. Imagine the ear like an upside-down human fetus, and the acupuncture points on the ear correspond to the body parts of the fetus shape, with the earlobe representing the head. Within minutes of receiving the needles, their bodies would relax, their eyes brighten, and they would start engaging with those around them. It's a powerful thing to witness. Juan himself struggled with addiction and credits acupuncture for saving his life.
I think that I was a little bit more open to Eastern medicine and acupuncture because of my my love of martial arts since a young man. And so when we started to receive acupuncture, I just connected it to that. It's just the mind, body, spirit thing, and I totally embraced it. So altogether, I used drugs for 27 years. Pretty much heroin and crack cocaine became my choices of drugs. Everything that goes with the street was in my life. So the drugs, the violence, the stigma, the incarceration, right? The overdoses, everything was that. The low self-esteem. Society told me I was no good so often. Like everywhere I went, you're like a fucking junkie. You're no good. You should be incarcerated. You know what? You should all be dead. I started to believe that shit. So I didn't care anymore. Like, why should I care when nobody else fucking cares? I didn't like being in that life. I felt I had like no escape. I felt that I was a prisoner in my own self, like that I was doing drugs against my will. It's kind of crazy for me to say that, but it's like so true. It's so true. Like you feel you have no other option, and as much as you want to escape, it's like if you're drowning, and every time that you try to gasp for air, you just swallow more water, and it's a horrible life. It was acupuncture and learning about Tai Chi and Qigong and how to do deep breathing, and also being surrounded by people who supported me, and that I was able to change my life.
This acupuncture protocol is currently being practiced in over 600 clinics across the U.S. and in more than 85 countries. It's widely known as NADA, for the National Acupuncture Detoxification Association, which was incorporated in 1985 by Dr. Michael Smith. But most people don't realize that radical activists from the Black Panther Party and the Young Lords, who were the Puerto Rican counterpart to the Black Panthers, actually developed the technique.
I didn't really know the true history behind it, which was that one of the senior counselors, and I was telling them about acupuncture and stuff, and she came and she said, "Do you know how this really started?" And she was like, it was the Black Panthers and the Young Lords. They actually were the first ones to bring acupuncture to the South Bronx.
In November of 1970, the revolutionary people moved into the hospital. They took over for the benefit of the people. The program was developed through the coalition of the Young Lords Party, Black Panther Party, and ATRIM, which is the Health Revolutionary Unity Movement. And it was felt that there was a need to deal with the addict on the street and to use a different approach with the problem of addiction in our community.
That was a Lincoln detox worker speaking to the press back in 1971. At that time, methadone maintenance was becoming the standard treatment for heroin addiction. But the Lincoln detox program wanted a non-chemical treatment for addiction. They wanted their community off of all drugs. As they used to say, addicts don't make good revolutionaries. 50 years later, methadone maintenance continues to be the standard medical treatment for both heroin and opioid addiction.
Methadone itself in 1970 is not a new drug. What was novel was its use as a maintenance drug, meaning that someone who used to use heroin several times a day indefinitely could use methadone once a day indefinitely. They would be maintained on it, not detoxified with it.
That's Dr. Samuel Kelton Roberts, Jr. He's a professor and historian at Columbia University, and he's been studying the history of drug treatment in New York City for over a decade.
If you're coming from a place that is very critical of federal, state, and local government and how it treats Black people, brown people, poor people, Asian people, you understandably might come to regard methadone maintenance with some suspicion because it is regulated and in large part dispensed by the government.
Mutulu Shakur saw both methadone and heroin as weapons of chemical warfare employed to pacify Black political resistance. In 1972, he discovered Chinese medicine while handing out political pamphlets in Chinatown with his comrade Nobuko Miyamoto. She brought him into a community center where there was an elderly Chinese woman practicing moxibustion and acupuncture. Shakur, who was always searching for solutions to problems, was instantly drawn to acupuncture. Here was a non-chemical form of medicine. He thought, what if I bring this to the South Bronx? I visited Dr. Shakur at least a dozen times since 2013, but unfortunately, all our requests to interview him for the documentary or this podcast have been denied by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. There are only about 5 known recorded interviews with Mutulu, and most were done before 2001. Here is an excerpt from one such interview. I chose this clip because you can hear how much joy the memories of his work in the community bring him.
when the patients or victims would come up, we would say, well, listen, we're not going to give you no methadone today, but what we're going to do is massage your feet, we massage your back, and we massage your ears. And what we would use, we're going to use our finger. And so before we even got needles, people would come up to the Bronx, dope fiends, hardened dope victims. We would massage their ears and massage their hands and their legs, and we would stand there with our fingers in their ears or in the different points. We'd do deep breathing, and they'd fall right out to sleep and just relax, and then the next day they'd be back for that treatment. And we were detoxifying people off of heroin and cocaine and methadone with acupressure, a lot of love, a lot of commitment to it. And it was some of the most rewarding times of our lives, you know.
What Naira has in common with the original program led by Mutulu at the Lincoln Detox is their commitment to serving the community's needs. Once a month, Juan's colleague Dimitri invites a variety of holistic health practitioners from all over New York City to the clinic in Harlem. The day we were there, over 50 people were gathered in the small concrete courtyard. The day began with the ritual led by Dimitri, where everyone held hands for a moment of gratitude. I felt incredibly moved as I looked around at the diversity of people gathered together as one.
We say, how can we reduce the harm of that? How can we reduce the harm of madmen running our world, running our bodies, imprisoning our brothers and sisters, destroying the resources? What resource can we access that is ours, that is in the common, that is in the community? And that is the nature of this, the nature of holding hands, the nature of going out and offering our medicines, a people's medicine. A medicine from our grandmothers, a medicine from our grandmothers. The medicine from our grandmothers is not held by anybody. You don't need a prescription. You don't need a contract. You don't need to have land rights. You don't need to have a writ.
What I found in terms of the ceremonial aspect is that folks came in hungry for that. So first of all, you have a population that by and large are theists. These are people of God. You have folks who are not welcome in their synagogue, in their church, in their mosque, in the Santeria circle because of their drug use, because of their sex workers, because of their transgender or whatever, or gay or whatever, and they're welcome here. They're welcome here as children of God.
I met Juan through one of the original Young Lords named Walter Bosque. Walter is also featured in the documentary and was the first Puerto Rican acupuncturist in America. Juan fits into this history because he was both healed by acupuncture and now is a healer himself. Mutulu wanted to heal drug addicts, or as he referred to them, drug victims, so that they could pick up the struggle and continue to serve the community. Their motto was, each one reach one, each one teach one. Juan embodies the spirit in the purest sense.
The message is still the same about somebody who's oppressed, somebody who's stigmatized, that they're human beings and they deserve the rights that everybody else has. The rights to health, the rights to shelter, the rights to not be harassed, the rights to be able to live your life in peace. That's what we teach. We teach that, and that's the same thing that the Young Lords and the Black Panthers and the Collective did in Lincoln Detox.
It's been over a year since I visited Naira, and in light of what's happening with social distancing and COVID, I couldn't help but wonder how Juan was managing his work in the community.
Wow. That has been a bit of a challenge, but just yesterday I did a Zoom group where I showed people how to give themselves ear massages using the 5 points and stimulating the points. And that was a way of some getting some type of benefit as when they can't get the needles, which is something that actually the Mutulu and Walter and the collective were doing before they knew how to use needles. We also acknowledge the fact that because of this pandemic, that more people are using drugs because everybody's depressed. Everybody is like isolating, and it's hard on all of us. And people are gonna resort to using more drugs. There's a higher risk for overdose. You know, a higher mental health issues. So, and acupuncture and holistic health is going to be needed more than ever when we get back, because now we're going to be dealing with people's post-traumatic stress. I think that that this pandemic has showed us how important what we do is, even more than before, because we always knew it was important. But now, you know, I get phone calls from people every day saying, hey, when are you going to open up the acupuncture room? I need my acupuncture. And I have to say, hey, I can't. We can't right now, but what we could do is we could do a video where I could show you how to do some, massaging of your ear and stuff like that. Oh, man, you know, I need my acupuncture. You know, so we're doing the best we can. We're doing the best that we can.
In the next episode, we look at how conditions in the South Bronx radicalized a group of teenagers to take action on healthcare, culminating in the occupation of Lincoln Hospital in 1970. Professor and activist Joanna Fernandez, author of The Young Lords, A Radical History, will walk us through how the activism of the era transformed public health care in New York City. The producers would like to thank Tayemba Jess for allowing us to use an excerpt from his 1992 telephone interview with Mutulu Shakur from Lompoc Federal Prison for WHBK Radio in Chicago. Excerpts from the documentary film Dope is Death were also featured in this episode. This podcast was produced by iSteel Film, a documentary production company based in Montreal, Canada. The four-part podcast series is based on the documentary feature film Dope is Death, created with the financial participation of the Canada Media Fund and Super Channel Entertainment Network. Written, directed, and hosted by Mia Donovan, with the creative collaboration of sound designer Lynn Trepanier, and story editing and additional writing by Sarah Musgrave. Sound mix by Simon Plouffe. Additional narration by Latif Martin, with music by Ramachandra Borkar. Produced by Mia Donovan and Lynn Trepanier. Supervising producer Katie Mackay. Executive producer Bob Moore. Thank you to Corey Rizos and Samantha Neboshizki. For more information, visit dopeisdeath.com.